Chapter 12. The President Arrives. On Friday morning, there were hundreds of security officers around the UN building. There were police officers with guns on the roof and Coast Guard boats on the river. A large group of protesters stood outside the UN. Many of them wore face masks to protect their families in Matobo. Lewis called Tobin. The number's on Jamal's wall. There's a pizza restaurant, a store, and an international cell phone. Find the cell phone, Tobin ordered. Who owns it? Then Muhammad called. Sylvia used a computer to get a flight, but I don't know where she's going. Get passenger lists for all flights to South Africa from JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark airports. Find her and put her on the phone. Lewis called him again. The international cell phone belonged to John Gamba, he said. Did he call somebody at 3:30 p.m. the day before yesterday? Tobin asked. Yes, Lewis replied. That was after the bomb on the bus, Tobin said. Who was the first person he called? Try the number, then call me back. A minute later, Tobin's cell phone rang again. It's a number in the Matobin government offices, Lewis said. Ludd's number? Asked Tobin. No, Lewis replied. Somebody named Marcus Matu. He's one of the ambassador's assistants. Go there, Tobin shouted. His phone rang again. This time, it was Muhammad. She's on a flight out of JFK Airport at 9 a.m. Go to the airport and wait for her, Tobin said. Then call me. Matu and a group of Matobans arrived at the UN building. They walked through the security gates, past the UN guards, and past Tobin. Dot was at JFK Airport when Edmund Zuani came down the stairs from his airplane. He looked old, small, and weak.
Is that Zuani? Dot asked the agent next to her. Has that old man really killed thousands of people?
Ludd greeted the president. Zuani smiled and climbed into a car. Ludd and Dot got in with him, and they started to drive across the city to the UN. Zuani looked out the car window at Manhattan Island.
I want to go to the theater, he said.
That's not possible, sir, Dot said.
Last time I came here, there was a lot of sky, the president said. Now there are more tall buildings.
You came here 23 years ago, Dr. Zuani, Ludd said. Things change.
They get less important, Zuani said. They put flowers on the bridge during my last visit. I freed Matobo, and the American people welcomed me with flowers.
A few minutes later, the car arrived at the UN building. The protesters shouted angrily and waved their signs at the president. He looked surprised.
Are these people here for me? He asked Dot.
Yes, Dot replied.
Tobin opened the car door, and Zuani climbed out slowly. Ludd took his arm and helped him into the building. Tobin's cell phone rang again.
I'm at the airport. I can't see her, Muhammad said.
Stay there, Tobin said.
He turned to Pettigrew.
Can we keep Zuani in the safe room? It will give us more time.
We can try, Pettigrew said, but he wants to speak.
Tobin called Lewis and King. "Are you at the Matoban government offices?" he asked.
"Yes," Lewis replied, "but Matu isn't here. He didn't come in this morning. Nobody knows where he is."
"They know where he is," King said, "but they won't tell us."
"Get a photo of him and send it to the UN security officers," Tobin said. "Then go to his home address."
2 minutes later, a UN security officer came up behind him.
"This picture just arrived, sir," he said, and he gave Tobin a photo of Matu.
Tobin looked at it carefully and recognized the face.
"He's here!" Tobin shouted. "I just saw him at the top of the stairs!"
He left Dot with Suwani and ran into the main hall. It was full now with hundreds of people who were waiting for Suwani. Tobin saw Lud sitting with the other people from Matobo. He looked up and saw the interpreters in their booths. He looked for Matu, but he couldn't see him.